When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Mayfair Witches is over, but we're just getting started here on post-show recaps as we recap the finale, the season finale of Mayfair Witches. My name is Grace. I'm here with my co-host, Ian Philly. Philly, how you doing?
I'm so good. I'm just hanging out in a mausoleum with all the bones of my ancestors.
Bones and all. That's a different movie that came out last year. Yeah, the finale, What Rough Beast, was the finale. I said last week, as we sort of talked the episode, it wasn't bad last week, you know, but like not great, but at least they set up some stuff for the finale, and they did. I do feel like we got a fair amount of answers from the show, but I also felt like she had a baby and that's the finale.
That is the finale.
Yeah. She is the we get more clarity on the prophecy that the 13th witch will go through the door and will have the first witch,
which is the door,
is the doorway.
Yeah, it's very Ghostbuster keymaster gatekeeper energy.
She will have a baby. We learn who her father is, which was not even a mystery I had on the board. Who her father was was not something I
they
really
forgot to tell us. The bomb had. Was under the table, Grace, you know. Too much stuff behind the curtain.
We find out why Cyprian can't see in the elevator. His boss, perhaps an eraser of memories. Yeah. Rowan seems to sort of like accept Lasher into her life. Gonna walk off with the baby. But nobody controls her also at the same time. But also she's gonna hang out with Lasher. Yeah.
Lasher controls her, the baby. It's all very, listen, more of the same. Anybody like just tuning in, if you have been listening to Grace and I talking about this show through it, I'm very much like pretty consistent with what we've been feeling, especially these last couple of weeks. I think this is probably the best episode of the show in terms of advancing the plot and even creating like a little bit of character development, but it's a little too little too late, right? I think that a lot of this stuff, if it would have happened earlier on, it's created some interest for me in terms of where we go from here. But I'm not necessarily like thrilled with the arcs as they played out, the reveals of mysteries that we didn't know we were looking for, the kind of like loose way that we're dealing with some of this stuff. I mean, something you've been saying throughout is that when you're keeping everything underneath the surface, it's really hard to appreciate any of it. And like all these notes of like the prophecy, like we should open the show on the prophecy. Like, what is the prophecy? Do you know exactly what it is? I have a vague idea of what it is, but like we should know the words to that. If a prophecy is like that important to the central premise of your story, then tell the audience what the prophecy is, you know?
Kind of the point of a prophecy is that you tell us the prophecy, but we don't really understand what it means until the end of the, and then when the prophecy comes through, we're like, that's what it means. And this is like, we're not going to tell you what the prophecy is, but you better be surprised when the prophecy comes true or doesn't come true. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I do very much appreciate it. We had some folks reach out to us and like, thank you for like validating that I also am not really enjoying the show and I maybe am hate watching at this point. And so that made me feel good because I'm sure there's people out there who are like, I'm kind of liking it. And it, you know, all the more the power to you. I love that. And I try really hard to be like, this doesn't work for me. Not like this show is bad. That's not what I'm saying. The show is not working for me personally. But I do appreciate folks who are sort of like validating that, you know, we haven't been wasting our time exactly spending 8 weeks podcasting about a show that in our opinion, it has not worked for us. So I very much appreciate that. All right. So we sort of start a bit where we left off. Rowan has been shot and she's going to like walk through the forest. And there's a little bit of this thing and sort of Lasher had done it to a Cyprian a little bit. I don't know if this is exactly the same thing that's happening, but essentially like we see Rowan lying on the ground, but also Rowan is like upright somewhere and is essentially telling Lasher to like, go find this dude. I think his name is Keith. Go kill him. And I do like this, that this man ends up being burned alive. He would like to burn some witches and ends up being burned in a cabin.
Yeah. So when it comes to like the Rowan Lasher interactions, this one feels the most resonant, like authentic to me, right? It feels like she is overwhelmed by like emotion, by the anger and the pain and like everything that just happened, the loss of like her cousin, I guess, as it was, and the fact that she's now in this moment going to succumb to her kind of basest impulse of revenge, right? It tracks on this woman who's been like tweaking people's brains out all season, and the fact that she will now, we get this shift of her saying like, go get him, right? She's baited into like, you know, kind of buying into this worst impulse of herself. I'm into it here. And again, to the point that we've been talking about, Grace, like cool magic stuff, right? Like, yes. Okay. Like I'm not necessarily here to watch horrific violence at all turns, but yeah, like let's see some magic happen where we're going to burn these like terrible villains alive.
Yeah. So Jojo updates Cortland. It's like, yeah, Tessa's dead and everybody else who is there is dead as well. But Rowan was gone before the rest of the family get there and is starting to question her dad's obsession with Rowan, something we have not really clocked before in the show at all. Like obviously Cortland being like sort of an, you know, we've wanted to know what Cortland's desires are, but I would not have called it an obsession per se. And this is sort of how JoJo starts to like frame Cortland's interactions with Rowan's like, you're so obsessed with her. And it's like, well, also like she's this new kid. She's this new person who is like the designee. Like it does make sense. He might be like a little like, you know, obsessed with, not obsessed, but like think about her and be like, wonder what's happening. Yeah, with Rowan.
That's who's like getting the energy all of a sudden. It's the new kid in class. This is like even beyond the whole, the connection with Lasher. Like this is just a long lost family member coming into town. There's like interest, right? It's that like,
she's the designee. JoJo's the one being like, she's the designee, you know?
It's a new story to talk about, but this is so emblematic to me of the failures that I'm finding with this show, that Harry Hamlin has been in every episode, right? We've been like tracking Cortland since the beginning, but I'm just so don't know what to even think about him. I don't necessarily have like a great perspective on his motivations, his fears, his desires to like a great degree as we're rolling in episode 8. And this is supposed to be a central relationship in this guy's life with this daughter, right? Yeah. Like the Cortland JoJo dynamic. It just feels emotionally flat and devoid of the kind of authenticity that I'm like looking for here. And I don't necessarily think it's the fault of the performances as much as the writing.
I totally agree.
It's jarring, right? Where she's like, why are you fixating on this? And then we'll get to it later. But the way that she like kind of pivot turns, they just feel like characters going through the motions to like service the needs of the story. And they don't feel like authentic people that are in this supernatural circumstance and trying to like reconcile themselves with that, right?
Yeah. I mean, these are characters we've seen from pretty early on. Judge's first episode is when Rowan has this sort of hallucination and thinks she's going to go with the dancing parade and then ends up, she's been asleep. And like, as I said, like JoJo, they hired Jen Richards to play this role. And there's part of me that really loves that, like her being trans is not a character point for JoJo. It's literally never mentioned the show. At the same time, I'm also like, so like there's a world where like she's just a cisgender woman, like she's been cast as a cis woman, which I think is like, that's totally fair. And if that's what they want to do, they want to do. But also like, boy, there's a lot that would be really interesting in terms of talking about how trans women fit into like witchcraft and like this like patriarchy and like Cortland like not getting to be in the matriarchy, of this family, right? Like not being in the power role of this family, and then you have a kid who like transitions and then does get like a power, like that to me is all like super fascinating. And I'm like, god, that would have been the way that Interview updated Interview to 2023, I was like,
right,
boy, this would have been cool. Yeah,
right, the way that we changed the story of Interview to really focus on some contemporary discussion about social issues, and we're able to carry the same kind of themes from the original work into a more modern discourse about where we find ourselves in the world and in this 21st century, it's very compelling. And I'm totally with you. I mean, if not for me hanging out with you talking about this show every week, Grace, like I would not have clocked, I don't know Jen Richards from prior to this, and I would not have like clocked that, right? Yeah. So I think that it's really awesome in one way that like that's not a story point that we don't need to hang that there, but of course like that would be a really compelling story to tell.
I know. Well, I'll write it. So Cyprian is on the Cortland calls Albrecht, and Albrecht's like, don't worry, I'm waiting for like Lasher to set fire to everything, the prophecy to be whatever. Cyprian has like done this, like he's trying to like fake out Albrecht by being like, you know what, you're right, I'll follow your lead, I'll do whatever you ask. And he removes his glove and goes to shake Albrecht's hand as if he would not know. Like, it's like, come on, you got to know. Like, I guess he doesn't know his boss, but you have to know that his boss knows his
boss should know him pretty well, right? It's like one of these dynamics where somebody that you spend every day with all of a sudden shows up like not wearing glasses for the first time in forever. Like these kind of things are pretty
when they show up not wearing glasses, you know that they're Superman.
That's true. Yes, actually, it's a very, very good point with the phone booth and the whole thing. No, again, this whole dynamic also is like very emblematic of my frustrations with the show, because there's this tension here. We got a reveal of a mystery that we didn't know that we were engaged with last episode. Oh my God, Albrecht and the Talamasker are in on it. They are not the like allies that we thought they were. Cyprian has had the rug entirely pulled out from underneath him. And then we get this very kind of confusing scene where I'm like, wait a minute, why is Cyprian even doing this? I thought Cyprian's whole ability was like psychometry. He's able to read the past through objects. Like, why would him touching this other guy, did he turn the rogue from the X-Men, Grace? Like, what's happening here? Why is that a thing? And then Cyprian has this revelation, you can erase memories. Okay, this is cool, this is the witch
I like it too, about, although right? Again, most of the cool powers belong to men in this
I guess it's very true. But so we get this reveal that like, okay, cool, and ultimately the tension is just completely like sucked entirely out of the scene as Cyprian's like, so hey man, how about like, this is really important and you should just let me go. And Albrecht is like, you know what? Okay, I changed my mind. Like, go for it. Like, it just, the entire arc that we went through here, it feels to me like the quintessential like TV storytelling of like, we just need to create an artificial speed bump to make sure that Cyprian can't get to where he needs to be in time. Right? It's deeply frustrating to me, Grace, because like, there's a there. It's this idea you've been talking about that like, the ideas are really interesting. The idea of like this boss erasing his memory and him not being like fully nefarious and kind of in the gray space and able to negotiate with, but the execution just played so flat and hollow to me that I'm like, okay, I guess now Cyprian's going to go with Nameless Bodyguard back to the scene. Okay.
Well, and then also, like, I feel like the show is, you know, I get this idea that, like, they read the book and there's so much cool stuff in there. And then they're continually more excited about what's next than what is happening on screen. Because a lot of this, like, this now seems like Albrecht is, like, set up, like, because he erases his sister, Cyprian's sister's memory. Mm-hmm. And the other agent, she's like, oh man, you're gonna do it to me. And he's like, I'm glad you understand. And so, like, all of this stuff is like, we're clearly setting up future, like, season two. They know they've been renewed, right? And so I feel like the show just feels so like it's always looking forward. And that's what I keep saying. I'm like, yeah, there is exciting stuff, but like then the stuff that I get, as you're pointing out, falls really flat and feels not fun or interesting or, you know, to me. And so, yeah, it's like this idea that like, and it does feel like they're like moving pieces on a chessboard to get them there without really like explaining. It's like, that's not actually how the rules work. Like, you can't just move your knight, you know, like straight across the board. They move in an L.
It's that well-worn statement, Grace, that like, hey, the journey is more meaningful than the destination, right? And they're so fixated on the destination that we're rushing through the journey. You and I play a lot of role-playing games together. We play a lot of Dungeons & Dragons, and I run these games as a professional to some degree or another. And it's a problem that I really relate to, you know? I don't mean to be too critical and judgmental in that it's hard to execute well on stories. I think like part of what we're talking about here is that we're really fortunate to spend a lot of our time talking about really good TV, and it's hard to achieve that, right? Yeah. But these ideas that I take from my like tabletop role-playing games, Grace, of like, start close to the action, you know? Right. If we would have gotten to a lot of these reveals in episode 3 and the rest of season 1 is like playing out on this, I think I would have been much more engaged week to week, you know? I think that like sustaining tension in scenes like that, like, tension is uncomfortable. That's part of why it's so compelling in narrative, that we as an audience are watching and we want the problem to reconcile. We want this person to make the right choice. We want the couple to get together. We don't like this feeling of discomfort about the conflict that's in front of us. And I think that a lot of writers like run away from that. And I certainly do sometimes. And I think that's part of like what we've gotten to, that these tensions like rise and they can't like sustain themselves for any period of time to create like real immersion in the story and this kind of empathy for us as viewers, you know?
Yeah. So the way that Cyprian gets away is he's going to realize that like Albrecht covered up like Cortland's like kill, like hired someone to kill Deidre, right? And so he's erased the elevator memory, and he's done that because Cortland hired someone to kill Deidre to make sure that the prophecy comes true, which is that, you know, Rowan the 13th Witch is bound to Lasher. And so the way Cyprian then uses like the prophecy to get out is like, well, I'm part of the prophecy. She's having my baby and you need to let me go. And he says, okay, you can go. So he lets him go.
My trouble, Grace, is it's like they're cheating the show don't tell, right? Like giving Cyprian this cool power puts us in a place where they can show us these scenes. But it's a thing that we've talked about before, where when you're foreshadowing events, you like ideally Mayfair Witches gives us this reveal in episode 8. Cortland was behind the murder in the elevator the whole time. And we should be able to go back, watch over from episode 1 and like have clues to that, have some pieces that are like alluding to that. But
where
I think
the F has Albrecht been the whole time? Like, there should be like, put this guy, he's such a good actor, put him in the whole time,
compelling character,
give him, make him being suspicious as like somebody who doesn't remember something. No, it's like he shows up in episode, like he's in an early episode and then he's like in 6, 7, 8, and you're like, okay, all right, sure. But yeah, you're right. Like, I've been saying this about The Last of Us, that every episode that happens, I'm like so excited to go back and rewatch a previous episode because it's like additive to what's happening and the way that they've like foreshadowed and built and played on themes. And like, this one will be no fun to go back and rewatch because like it all just sort of like, it just like happens, you know?
Yep. So, it feels like it just has no like reverence for what it's done. It's not looking back at all. We're just barreling forward. To your point, like we're in such a kind of rush to get to the good stuff, like, or what's next or where they're going or whatever it is, that they've just not built on what they're doing here. It feels like, it just feels like a workaround. Like, oh, look, we could show you this thing through Cyprian, but like, you're just telling us, this is just exposition. that's all retroactive. It's all after the fact. There's nothing that indicated this was happening before it did, you know?
All right. So Rowan is passing out from blood loss and Lasher comes to her and Rowan tells or Lasher sort of says that like, you're still alive and you can make it out. You need to look deeper and find the place that holds knowledge of your ancestors. And so she looks back and she ends up at Suzanne's house. She's like in this memory. She hears a voice speaking a different language and Lasher tells her that's his language. And they find the markings that like Suzanne has left, a combination of all her knowledge. Rowan touches the markings and is able to heal herself. I mean, cool witch stuff, Rich, I guess.
It is. It's cool witch stuff. Cyprian is turning into Rogue and Rowan's turning into Wolverine. They're like the X-Men. It's like the secret X-Men series. I dug this. Like, I really dug the transition as she's going back. This notion of like, you know, like a kind of ancestral memory and this connection back through the bloodlines and the way that like, even just the whole like montage that brings her back to the cottage is happening in the same kind of visual style as when she's like going through people's biology and attacking their nervous system. There was a lot of like image like symbolism there. It was very similar. I dug it. I thought this was cool. This whole notion, you know, again, like speak to the D&D of it all. There's like a very big warlock element here of like these witches that have these kind of power that's their own, but ultimately they're like making bargains with this outer entity, you know,
right.
The idea that like Lasher is playing something through to conclusion, the 13th witch, you're the door. That was cool. I get like the disconnect is as she gets back there and like immediately all of it like comes together within a second. She's like reading all the writing and nobody could do this but you. Like parts of it I really liked visually, but again, it just feels a little bit rushed. I think this earlier would have like served the rest of the story a lot more.
Every time I go to watch Mayfair now on my Amazon Prime, it's through my AMC Plus subscription, it says like young adult, and so when she's sleeping with Lasher, I'm like, oh yeah, here we are, the young adult content of the episode.
Yes, very pretty people being naked on TV. Yeah.
Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
I need to go.
Hang on. It is our time.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, now playing only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, so Odette is wondering where Cyprian is. And so she finds a Talamasca card and calls the number. And she asks for Cyprian. And we get the woman, the blind woman from earlier in the season. He's like, nope, there's no one with that name here. I can't help you. So she hangs up. And the old woman calls somebody else and is like, yeah, there's been a breach. I did kind of love like her being like, nope, never heard of him. And then be like, there's a breach, code red. Yeah.
I really just love the maybe unintentional humor of like this wicked secret organization that have like business cards and like the blind receptionist who's actually a prophet and just her being like, no, I'm sorry, you don't know anything. And the woman's like, please, I know this is a big secret organization, but he's missing important things. And she's like, yeah, sorry, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't care.
So Odette's gonna try to hack into Ciprin's laptop, but it's at the that exact moment that Argina and Albrecht are going to be there. They're like, you know, worried about. So it's to get this. It's the Argina's like, oh, you've had a baby, and so Odette has had the baby. She's had the baby.
She had the baby. Her brother was in there, and now she's just hanging out in the apartment. Where's the baby? I don't know. How long was she in the hospital? I don't know. You know, I don't know. I don't really know. But yeah,
really, you couldn't have added to, I mean, like, I'm sure we would be making fun of this too if, like, she's like, oh my god, she's like having the baby right now, and she's trying to call like Ciprian, like whatever. But like, it's just as like the whole thing was like she was pregnant, and then she shows up and like, well, she had the baby. It just shows that she's such an unimportant character that like her pregnancy is so
of all the stuff we're talking about, right? They're so concerned with like the destination of like, you just had a baby, which means that you could nurse the new baby, and that's all that we need to do. We need to get you to the point that you're unconscious, memory wiped, and we're gonna go take you to be like the, like, you know, milk mother to this child. Yeah. And it's just like, oh my god, you guys, you really like bludgeoned this storyline in a way that is like very inelegant and I think maybe even like a little immoral. I don't know.
How long ago did you have the baby? Like, she had the baby? Where is the baby? I mean, I guess presumably she's in a relationship. No
work done here to like convey any of it, like any of like her situation, the depth, the baby.
Do they not have a budget for a little baby? It could have a little baby that she's holding onto, and she's looking for the card with like the Talamasca card.
Listen, they budgeted for one quite horrifying baby. I will say that much. That baby's going to give me nightmares, Grace.
A big baby. This is where Albrecht is like, don't worry, he's fine, emergency situation, I gotta wipe your memory. Argina, he's gonna wipe her as well. So Ciprian goes to see Cortland, but he actually finds Jojo, and he, as he's searching, he finds this mask, and he touches the mask, and we see that actually the night that Deirdre got pregnant, it was actually Cortland who is the father. He kills the man that we saw earlier on and then sleeps with Deirdre. And so he is Rowan's father. And Jojo is adamant that Ciprian has seen something, and Ciprian reveals this to Jojo. And then Jojo realizes her dad clearly has something to do with Deirdre's death as well. I hate this so much. I hate it. Like, I want, like, you know, because, like, part of me was thinking early on when we get the Carlotta versus Cortland thing, and in my head they were, like, opposing each other, but I kind of thought it was going to be, like, oh, Lasher is pitting them against each other, which potentially they're still that, but it's just, like, there is absolutely no way for Cortland to be redeemable now. He literally rapes his niece, so it's, like, that just is awful and terrible, and that, so, because, like, you know, when I said this early on, like, you know, I wanted this to be a show about women, and, you know, that, like, there's, like, a lot of metaphor you can do with, like, women who are accused, right? Like, and I feel like they're, like, clumsy with it, with, like, you know, the guy with Deirdre's heart in his fridge. And I feel like that could have been, like, it's an interesting thing you could tackle of, like, how these, you know, women being, like, ostracized in society, but then, like, oh, but what if they actually are witches and can take back some power? And so, yes, you can play into, like, okay, who are the patriarchal people who, like, might be frustrated by this? And I'm like, yeah, but the whole thing is, like, Lasher's here, so I don't think we really need Cortland to be that, because Lasher is the representative of, like, you're controlled by, although he's not, maybe not a man per se, like, he is.
So, I mean, so I'm like, being portrayed as a very masculine role, right?
Yeah. At the least. So, yes. So I'm like, so Lasher is the epitome of, like, patriarchy and how women are controlled. And then, like, no, we have this whole thing with Cortland. Look, I mean, I think it sucks and it's gross. Yeah.
Additional cult of incels that we identified here, Grace. Yeah. You know, like, there's a lot of that energy. For me, I guess there was, like, a couple of components that, like, really pissed me off about it.
Yeah.
One is that I think that we already have indicted Cortland. Cortland allowed this whole thing to happen. Cortland gave his niece this dress. He like sends her out intoxicated into like this gala ball and allows her to be taken by this absolutely arbitrary individual for the sole function to impregnate her for his pact with this demon. Right. Like that much we can all kind of like accept already. That's already horrific and really like indictable. And I think that to your point in like using this kind of story as a vehicle to talk about contemporary issues on like the midst and the heels of the Me Too movement, as we're talking like more and more about the like systemic kind of sexism that is built into so much of our like Western culture, like Cortland's already the bad guy. And I just hate the idea that we have to reduce it even further to its most like base violent premise, that only once we say like, oh no, he didn't do that. He did an even worse thing. He was the actual like criminal. He was the rapist in the room. Like the idea that he allowed that, that he covered it up, that he has facilitated this whole kind of event, that's horrific. And like, you don't need to make it worse than that to villainize him more. You know, it just feels like such reductive storytelling, and it doesn't track with any authenticity with like what we've seen so far. I feel like there was no work done to earn this moment. Not that it should be like something satisfying in its delivery, but like, it just is an 11th hour rug pull to like sensationalize things even further, and it feels really reductive and lame.
Yeah, and I think you know, there, we talked about this on Interview with the Vampire, and there was this thing of like one of us said something that like, you know, a listener gave us some feedback on about like, how does this service the story? And it's like, well, sometimes these things just happen to people, and I agree that like, but the problem is that the person this happened to is Deirdre, who's completely used as like shock value, like she's dead in the elevator, right? Like it's like, and then the reason they add this, like by the time they add it, is to make Cortland a villain. And so like, if we're just in here to make like people a villain, I don't think it's necessary. I think that like, yes, people are sexually assaulted, women are sexually assaulted, and there's ways in which like that's a part of your life and like, you know, impacts your life, and someone is a story. And this is where I like talk about like, where are we putting the spotlight? So if you're choosing, because like, I, you know, we talked about this a lot when House of the Dragon came out, about like my problem with there's like a miscarriage scene in episode one. And my thing is like, it's in here to like almost make us like, it's the story for the man in that story, not for the woman. And so like, I'm okay with talking, obviously, with stories that are like about these things that happen to people that are horrific and terrible, but like, how are we framing them? How are they being used? And here it feels like completely to add into Cortland's like list that he's a bad guy. And like, to your point, we already did that. So. Yep.
I mean, you're talking about House of the Dragon, no spoilers here, but right to the Game of Thrones of it all, like, there was a lot of criticism thrown at Game of Thrones for the way that it would use sexual violence against women as this, like, you know, just a kind of like flag to like wave in the air to signify like, look, evil, right? And it's just reductive. It's reductive storytelling. It's not adding anything to like the depth that we're getting here. It's inclusion in and of itself isn't a problem, but the way that they're using it here to just really ratchet up and like clarify, like, oh look, he's such a bad guy, like, was that not really clear? I don't know. And then my other huge problem,
there's something else you could do to make him a bad guy, you know?
Right, there's a million things we could do to make him a bad guy. But my other huge problem with this scene, Grace, is it just feels so, Cortland notably, like, not in the scene, right? This is a scene between Cyprian and Jojo, and it feels so wildly inauthentic from both of them, and like insane that this guy wanders into this house, he meets this woman, and he's like, immediately, she's like, tell me what's going on. I care about Rowan too, absolute stranger. And he's like, well, your father is a rapist. At which point she immediately is like, you're right, I'm on your team, let's go. Like, why would he think that she would go with this? Why would you think that like this man's daughter is going to be an ally to your cause in this moment? Why would you believe the stranger who has stumbled into your house in this kind of like hazed out, like Louisiana afternoon sweat, like clearly frantic and stressed, like, none of it just feels so like forced, right?
Yeah.
And when you like really mix it all up with like a glaring sexual assault out of nowhere in the 11th hour, I'm like, oh my God, what are we doing, guys? You know?
Yeah. I did like that he touches a bunch of stuff, and
that was super cool. Yes.
Yeah, we do see, like, you know, talk about Shota, but then like all of that stuff is like kind of meaningless ultimately. Of like all the stuff that like there's, he touches some scissors, and it's like, yeah, we see Suzanne like cutting some herbs or whatever, and I'm like, it's cool. Just like, you know, too late. You know,
I'm with you. Like, I go back to like our early days. What are we excited about this show? And I love the idea of this Talamasca detective that, like, that's how he's kind of snooping around. It's a very like fun moment. They have a lot of the right ingredients to like do something cool here, but they did not do that, you know?
Yeah. So she's going to say, we need to get the designee, this like the skull, you know, the bones of the designees. Mm-hmm. And so he'll touch that and he'll see a random Mayfair witch who is like pleading to Lasher, and Lasher delivers the prophecy to her. The 13th witch is the doorway. And so Jojo's going to be like, oh, then we should probably go to the mausoleum where all the designees are buried. I guess this is what he says. The witching hour over the bones of our foremothers, Lasher will embody a new form, a form with power that has never been seen before. The 13th witch is the doorway. So let's go to the mausoleum. And Dolly Jean comes in, this like older a woman. And doesn't like does Cyprian just go and then they stay behind? Like, you need to tell
again,
them
Grace. Again, yeah. They're like in this frantic rush. And JoJo's like, actually, the next scene that we see them together, they're sitting drinking tea. You know what I mean? And it's just like, what are we doing, you guys? JoJo's like, all right, let's hang out and talk through it. My dad is so bad. We need new leadership, you know. But yeah, Cyprian does just leave them, you know.
Yeah. So back to Rowan, she wakes up. They're in a very old house. Did they have sheets back then, Rich? I know this is a very minor nitpick and I don't really care, but like, it's like a full on fitted sheet on the bed. And then she steps down and it's in dirt. There's a dirt floor. Give me a lot of dirt on those white sheets. And I know it's a memory, so it's fine. But these are things that were going through my head. I'm getting really nitpicky, Rich.
I was going badly through my head when Cortland was like fixing his tie. And I was like, buddy, your hands are still not clean. There's dirt getting everywhere. But the fitted sheet, a well-known invention of the
memory. It's not real, whatever. So her belly will start to grow, right? And she hears Lasher being like, follow your ancestors' path. At the end, there'll be a witching hour. So she's like transported through these different rooms as like, you know, she'll be somewhere and then it will like the walls turn black. In real time, Cortland is dragging Rowan's body out of the forest to the mausoleum. So all of this stuff is happening in her mind. He lays her down in the crypt inside the mausoleum. So Rowan is still traveling the path of her ancestors. And in the last room she sees Deirdre again. And Deirdre tells her that Lasher has run out the clock. It is the witching hour. Lasher is the baby she is carrying, and Rowan understands it as the 13th, which is the doorway for Lasher to take a human form. This wild, Rich. This wild. It's Lasher is the baby. Yeah.
It's very wild. Things that I did like were like, I'm joking, but like the scene with Cortland in the car, like cleaning himself up, that to me is like good stuff. That's the stuff that like isn't advancing the plot, but is giving us character development. Like, you're communicating so much to us about who this guy is and like what makes him tick, that like I really appreciated that scene. I love the imagery of like the weirdness with the clocks, all the people with their fingers on the clocks and on the watches. Like, that's sufficiently creepy. That is cool. I even like the moment of like Rowan realizing, wait a minute, I have Wolverine healing powers. I'm going to push this bullet out of myself. I can make fire, and like getting kind of intoxicated by the power, right? These are the beats that I'm like, okay, this is cool. This is cool. This is cool. Right. But all of this is just like, it's a little much. As she ends up in the mausoleum and Cortland, this is like creep her out. All right, it's time to get you dressed, you know? And it's like, wait, what? Like, what? I don't. No, Grace. Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot. It's crazy.
So she wakes up. The spirit of Suzanne is there and is like, you know, this is what was meant to be. Gonna help her deliver the baby. And Rowan's like, I'm not going into labor. Immediately goes into labor. She delivers this baby boy. Suzanne tells her that if she accepts the baby, he will give her great power. Meanwhile, Cyprian calls Albrecht and asks that he'll allow Cyprian to bring the baby to Talamasca. And that he's like, be careful. The baby is a very powerful being. It would be wise if they can watch the baby up close. So Cyprian plans to use Rowan's trust to steal the baby from her. So Albrecht decides to transport Odette to Talamasca so that Odette can breastfeed Rowan's babies. This really is the season finale, folks.
I know. It's just like, oh my God. At the point that Albrecht says that, it's another one where I'm like, oh my God, dude. Wow. Like, even just the line that, like, the way he asked, are you lactating? Is she lactating? I think he asked. And it's so objectifying, right? And just kind of like turning this woman into livestock and trivializing her. It really like feels again like this very reductive means to be like, look, this man is bad, you know? Like, I did not like.
Yeah. So the baby's growing really fast. She's gonna run. Cortland is also there to take the baby. And she's like, nah, I'll turn you into stone. Do like this. She kills Cortland. Is he dead? Is he think he's fully dead?
No. Yeah. I think that this is a fun play. This is like quintessential D&D stuff, Grace, of like immortality. Yeah. I will live forever as stone. And she transforms him into a statue. And it's a very fun, like, inversion of expectations, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think that really
It's very much a monkey's paw. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I think that really works well. The baby was like horrifying. Bubbly baby, like shape-changing baby growing very rapidly. Like that's nightmare fuel stuff. I know like a lot of people are fixated on like scary young children of Megan recently, but that baby horrified me, Grace. And then she runs and like the baby crawling after her down the tunnels, potentially even more terrifying to me than the shape-shifting baby.
Yeah.
Very uncomfortable.
Have you watched Barbarian? Yet, Rich?
No, I have not. Check it's on my list.
Hey, check out Barbarian. Check it out. Let me know what you think. All right, so she walks out. It's raining heavily. Cyprian is there waiting for her. Like,
with an umbrella.
He's like, this is our son. Let's go back to the house. We'll be happy together. I can carry the baby. She's like, no. You know, she calls lightning. It's pretty cool.
She does call lightning. Yep.
And he's like, Lasher's manipulating you. And she's like, no, I'm the one doing this. I'm in control. She won't be able to control the baby's power. And Rowan responds that she is the you are the one. You can't control her. And she walks away carrying the child. And that's where we end Mayfair Witches season one. Rich.
Yeah, so many things, Grace. So many things. The whole like inclusion of like the silent bodyguard in the car with Cyprian the whole time really annoyed the hell out of me.
Yeah.
I just gotta be honest. I'm like, what is this? Why is this guy here? He's got no name, he's got no function except to like be there to alert Rowan in the 11th hour of like, wait, you're not here alone, liar. So she could storm off. The whole like, we're gonna take your sister to be the like nursemaid, deeply uncomfortable. Like they could have taken her for a multitude of reasons. I don't know. They left me in a spot where I actually am like curious to see how some of this plays out. It might just be like the car wreck factor of like can't look away, but I am curious to see what occurs in the immediate aftermath of this episode. I feel like they hit the beats of like cool magic stuff, like Rowan actually having some powers, a little bit of like clarity of like Lasher's motivations, a little bit of clarity of some of these other people that I wish we would have gotten to in, I don't know, episode three, you know? But yeah, I think they missed more than they hit for me in Mayfair Witches finale.
The only thing about the magic that I'm a little worried about is that it's so unexplained that I'm going to get frustrated of like, so you can just do literally anything, or like when they try to add in rules later about like, you know, I'm like, I'm just going to get annoyed. Like, cause we see like she turns someone to stone, calls lightning, can hold fire in her hands.
Touch is like, she's like, wait, I can heal myself, can I heal others? And he's like, if you want. So we're gonna presume she's got weird healing magic, right? Cool. And then he's like, and you have power over all the elements that I do. And again, like the D&D nerd in me is like, oh, earth, fire, you know, lightning, between like the rain and the air, maybe we could call both of those, like, you know. But I'm with you, Grace. It's all very vague, right? JoJo being like, I've been giving you information for years, because like she's a seer, presumably. Yeah. Like it's all very vague. It's very vague.
Whatever, it's fine. Well, that's Mayfair Witches, I think. It's gonna come back at some point. No timetable yet on when it will return, but it will return. And did you watch What We Do in the Shadows? Anybody watch What We Do in the Shadows? It gives me big baby Colin energy. Baby Lasher is going to do. So, should be very interesting. Yeah. I mean, I think like we were, you know, I don't say we were harsh on the show. I think we were very fair with the show. I think we gave it a long leash before we were like, okay, yeah, I think I'm hate watching it. You know, I think, you know, and I hope, I know in the feedback we got about like someone appreciating us being kind of critical, it was also like, I do like, you know, appreciate that you like shout it out when it does something that is cool. So I think there was some cool stuff in here. I don't know, you know, perhaps the heart absence makes the heart grow fonder. It'd be very interesting when, like, you know, the season two announcement comes out about our excitement level for season two. Yeah.
I think another interesting conversation that came up in our like talking through it with some of the listeners and through some of the feedback we got in the Discord was the idea of binging this show. Because I'm sure if we sat down with Mayfair Witches in an afternoon and like smashed through it, we would have a little bit less of like, you know, a finer kind of eye of criticism for how frustrating it's getting. But over the course of like 2 months, waiting every week for like, okay, maybe this next episode, I went from like legitimately excited to like, oh, okay, you know, optimistic to like a little bit annoyed to like, yeah, I think I'm hate watching by the end. And to anybody that's been hanging out, I appreciate you. I hope that Grace and I have been fun. I've certainly had fun talking about it with you, Grace.
Same.
Like, every week when I watch my episode of Mayfair, I do laugh and smile to myself a good deal of like, man, we're gonna have fun talking through this. So
this is what it'd be very interesting. Like if it has just like a killer season two, say they like, you know, switch up some showrunners, bring in some new writers, whatever, and it just like knocks out of the park. It'd be so funny. Because I always use this example of like telling someone like, oh, you should check out the show. It just like it takes two seasons to get going, but then it's good. And with this one, you're like, okay, there's really bad first eight episodes. Maybe season two is amazing. Like you know, it'd be one of those funny examples of like, I think in the era of like, there's so much TV. There's so much good TV out there that you could be spending your time on. That like, yeah, this is maybe not one I'm going to be like super recommending to people, but it was fun to chat about it along the way. And I do think like watching something that you don't love really like to me and being able to then articulate like, oh, this is why I feel like this thing didn't work is so interesting to me in terms of like, you know, then going to watch shows that I do love and being able to like, sometimes it's like, it's hard to like, say why it's good, because it's just you're like, this is so good. It's been really fun to like articulate why these things don't work. And I hope it just wasn't like us being like, yeah, that sucked, you know. It was like,
I mean, a huge part of my affection for post show recaps when I found it as a listener to my time getting to contribute to the conversations that we're having here is considering like, why does this not work for me? What is it about this? What feelings is it eliciting for me that make me love it so much? And why? How is it doing that? What are the like processes, the steps that it's kind of going through to draw this big reaction out of me? So in a year where I've gotten to cover a lot of TV that I really, really enjoyed, a lot of it with you, Grace, it's been really interesting to sit down and be like, this is not working at all. Why? Yeah. Why is it not working? What do I feel like is failing here? Where am I comparing it to other properties that are doing the same kind of things and better? So it's been a fun exercise, and I've really enjoyed talking through it with you, if not watching every episode so much, you know.
Yes, fair enough. Wait, you didn't watch any of the episodes? I'm just kidding. All right, Rich, what do you got going on? Where can people find you?
I faked it pretty good the last couple of months.
I know.
You can find me on Twitter. I'm at DM Philly. My DMs are open if you want to hit me up and tell me why you loved Mayfair Witches and I am wrong. Please feel free to. I'm streaming Dungeons & Dragons with Grace, a bunch of other people over at twitch.tv/DM Philly. We're around. We could be around, but always hustling over there. PSRPGs has wrapped up our first adventure into the world of Willow. We got a little recap looking back on that adventure that I went on with you and Marissa and Taylor coming up soon. Mandalorian coverage coming soon to a podcast near you. I'm getting together with Mike Bloom to recap the episodes once they drop this upcoming week. LaTanya and Brendan and myself will be hanging about doing a Mando feedback show a little bit later in the week, so we want to hear from you. But all of that and more, I'm keeping busy. Go give me a follow.
Cool. I am covering The Last of Us, the recap with Mike Bloom, Video Game Club with Taryn Armstrong. Episode 7, which dropped last night, was very, very good. I'm excited to chat. You can catch my coverage with Mike and excited to chat with Taryn about it. Also covering Poker Face and a Succession Rewatch pod. a daily Succession rewatch pod in the works, and then Movies with Ariel as well. Covered Cocaine Bear this week, so check those out. I'm on Twitter at High From Grace. We will not be back next week. We'll be back whenever Interview or Mayfair or potentially another Anne Rice property shows up on AMC Plus. So until next time, double, double, boil in trouble.
Hey, Drew Scott here, and I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.